Hey there, American Horror Story fans. We are talking about the 8th season of American Horror Story, American Horror Story Apocalypse, the second episode, The Morning After. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello. Welcome, American Horror Story fans, to the AfterBuzz TV American Horror Story After Show. We're talking about the apocalypse, the second episode in American Horror Story Apocalypse, The Morning After. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today...
Hey, guys, Ashley Allen here.
Yes, back again. I'm Kayla Renee. What's up?
And right off the bat, what did you guys think of this episode? I feel like sometimes the second episode, you get more of a sense of what the series is going to be like.
Definitely.
Craziness.
Craziness and just more of WTF moments. Yes.
So many things are unpredictable. Like, how it ended, I'm not going to spoil it for everybody and just yet, but, like, how it ended, I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, what... So I'm just like, it's
even just how it opens. So it opens up with Emily opening up her closet and these snakes everywhere that Mead is saying, okay, well, they must have gone way underground and come in through the sewage system. We thought that nothing survived, but they don't have any sort of boils or anything on them. So it looks like they're not mutated. Yay for us. We're going to have some snake stew. But then when they open up their snake stew, somehow the snakes have reassembled themselves and come back to life.
That was scary. At first, I thought Emily was dreaming. I thought I was like, oh, okay, maybe she's having like one of her, you know, phobias or something, like her weaknesses or whatever is going to be snakes. But then it was like, no, these are real snakes. And then they turned back into, like, real snakes. I was like, what the heck? They were definitely, like, what is it, mutilated or, like, affected by, like, the radiation and
mutated,
stuff like that.
So, So. Some sort of... this is what's weird is it's like, what mutation makes them come back to together, reassemble themselves?
And alive.
Like,
again?
Yeah, which they even talk about because Timothy is like, look, this doesn't happen. And Emily's like, well, I guess it must have just been an alive one that they... trying to rationalize
and see,
some way.
And the other thing I noticed, too, was, like, when they slid off the table, where did they go? So it's like they just went back into, like, their little area where they were at. Like, maybe they're just little spies and they just come out to check on, like, check on what's who. See, whoever's the higher up person that I was talking about is, like, they're probably, you know, like, little pets or something for it. And then it, like, slides back up.
The devil.
Yeah, the little devil.
I must say that I have actually eaten snake before.
Oh, my God. Have you?
I have.
What does it taste like?
Is it chewy?
It was fried, so... It's more, it's kind of like a texture of, like, a calamari.
Oh, okay. So it's like a rubbery. I like calamari, though, but it's like, I would have been like, to know it's snake.
From steak to snake. I like it.
I mean, try it once and just so you can say you did it. I wouldn't do it again, but yeah.
I'm hungry, and yet somehow this conversation isn't making me more hungry.
Man, sorry.
And I was like, I think I'm going to pass on snake. I don't know.
So I love, too, that Michael Langdon walks to the center. They all go to the library. They've been summoned to the library so that he can make this announcement because Emily's saying, like, okay, who is in your office? Somebody's there because there's a breach. Explain to us what's going on. And he just walks to the center, kind of looks at... Venable until she moves out of the way. I was like, damn, power move.
Michael,
like, just looks her up and down and then flat out says, look, everything, all of the outposts, West Virginia, Texas, all of the other ones, they've all failed.
They've been
overrun.
Yeah.
You're going to die here too, pretty horrifically, unless you're selected to go to the sanctuary, which has safety procedures in place that they don't have here. And when Mead asks why, he's just like, that's classified. I'm not going to tell you. And then when they ask, like, who are the people populating it, he's like, that's classified. I'm not going to tell you. Basically, I'm not going to give you guys any information at all, but I'm going to give you a series of questions, what we call cooperating. show. I'm like, all right, it's like I'm
so corny, like how the words are just so like normal, but it's like it's like funny at the same time. Like we're the cooperative, and then it's like you guys are cooperating.
Like. It's so stupid. I love it so much.
It's like corny but funny at the same time.
I love it. So yeah, so then Coco is basically like, what is this, the Hunger Games? Like, I'm not doing this. Mr. Gallant volunteers to go first. And then he also brings out these, like, suicide pills.
Yeah.
Too, to, like, really just drive home how dire this situation is. I'm like, geez.
He's okay. Like, yeah, if you don't want to cooperate, then you guys can just take these pills. Yeah. In about a minute, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
But it's like, the choice is yours.
Yeah, and then Nana Evie, who is lying and saying that she's 52 years old, and is like, old actor trick, go first or go last, mm-hmm. then tells her whole Natalie Wood story. Of it's course. Like, sit down, Nana Evie. God, so ridiculous. But yeah, so Mr. Gallant asks, you know, how is this going to work? And he's flat out told, I'm not going to tell you any criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to, if you lie or if you try to trick me in any way, the interview is over and you're left here to die. And then he asks his sexual orientation. He says he's gay. And then he asks him about his anger and about his grandmother. And he says that he hates his grandma and goes into this whole thing and about, you know, is it a sense? Do I have a file or am I just fishing? How do I know what I know?
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, like, I don't know if I was, like, diving in or reaching a little bit, but I was just, like, I think they're preying, like, the cooperative is preying on anger. Like, anger is some, like, somewhere that's, like, a thing that they're, like, preying on to see, like, how you react in certain situations. So it was, like, how he knew, like, the dynamic between him and his Nana was, like, they've already been watching you guys to see, like, you know what I mean? So I'm, like, I wonder how they're going to use the anger to kind of, like, reverse to see, like, how things are going to happen.
That's interesting. A good point.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Or maybe, like, just seeing, like, what emotion, like, is some trigger. A weakness.
Yeah. Some type of trigger.
Like, whether it's, like, jealousy, maybe, or envy for Coco, or, like, anger for Gallant.
Yeah.
Which I want to know what his first name is, too, because it's weird that I'm, like, Gallant, he's the only one that's, like, Mr. Gallant. I'm like, I feel like we're playing Clue.
It's like a typical L.A., like, hairstylist name, though. Gallant.
Yeah.
Going to visit Gallant on Rodeo Drive.
But then they also, he gets this whole backstory about how she would throw these, like, dinner parties, these, like, bachelor versions.
Yeah.
Like, the gay brunches.
Yeah. When she's actually donating all of her money to a cat charity, which I was like, all right, that's the only time I can get on board with Nana Evie, where I'm like, I too would give all my money to a cat charity. So wait,
like, what's her whole thing? Like, she was just pretty much, like, auditioning men for her grandson? Like,
that's what it sounded like. Okay.
Yeah, so that he could have, like, a high-class
man,
whatever. Okay, yeah.
But then because he was saying, like, he like, Nana wanted him to have, like, the two Yorkies and to go to brunches.
She's trying to groom him into what kind of man she thinks he should be.
Mm-hmm. But instead he showed up in all leather and played.
From a huge straw. So you like leather.
Yeah, I played, like, Frankie Goes to Hollywood and, like, blaring it. Yeah. But then he ends up asking Michael point blank, like, are you gay? Because I'm getting a hit off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael's like, so what are you going to do about it? And then just ends the interview. And it's like, okay, well, that's the end. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk later. Doesn't say whether he passed or failed and doesn't even say that it's over. He's just like, we're going to talk later.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
I thought it was interesting, but I could already tell it was a test because Mr. Gallant was, like, throwing himself so hard and, like, putting his assumptions out there. Even though I think his assumptions were right, it's just like, okay, well, here's a test for you right here that he clearly failed.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, he's doing something, but whatever, like, questions he asked and the responses that he gave, clearly that was enough for him, like, okay, this is enough for the interview. Because it was like, you already said what he was already looking for, so.
Yeah.
But, and that was his weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said too much, and that's what he noticed. He was like, see, you, like, you talk too much, and you want the attention, you're looking for love, and it was, like, right there. It was like, dang, like, you can tell somebody a little quick little story, and they're already like, nope, I know exactly who you are and the type of person that you are.
Exactly.
So I was like, wow.
But I love that it cuts in two to Emily talking about Mr. Gallant.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, right after, where she says there's something wrong with him. Like, there's something wrong with Langdon. Or not with about Gallant, but she's like, there's something wrong with Langdon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's, she's even picking up on, like, there's, even though he's giving the tests, something not quite right.
I would just be thinking, like, who are you? Where did you come from? Yes. How do you have all this information? You're not saying anything, and you expect us to follow all of these rules?
Just be submissive. Like, yeah, like, what? No.
But at the same time, he's kind of, like, liberating them from these other rules. They just don't know that yet. Like, they're kind of, they're apprehensive, because it's also been, you know, a year and a half has gone by. This is the first new person that they've seen, presumably in a year and a half. Very interesting, very odd. Then it cuts to Mr. Gallant, like, jacking it, and then the Rubber Man showing up.
Rubber Man!
Return of Rubber Man!
We haven't seen him since, like, Murder House.
Yeah. But Nana Evie, of course, shows up, peeks in, sees it. Freaks out.
Beyond disturbed.
Ends up reporting it to Meade, knowing, which we've already seen from the Greys, the very first episode, shot, is that if you're caught fornicating, then you're going to, it's a murderable offense. That it's a capital punishment, like they will kill you. And she even says, you know, like, she, blood is thicker than water, but what I've seen, if it could destroy his chance at Utopia, but leave a spot open for me.
Yeah.
Piece of work.
So just, super selfish, just awful. And then Langdon ends up leaving his room, giving just enough time for Tim and Emily to sneak in and find this laptop.
Yeah, of course.
Rubber Man up on the ceiling.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so we know that Rubber Man and Langdon aren't the same person.
Because I definitely thought they were. Look.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, viewers. Like, I definitely thought they were the same person.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, but then when we saw that, it's like, okay, they're really driving home. Like, this is not the same person. This is, like, some sort of entity.
Yeah.
And they discover that these rules, the no boning rule, is a made up one. And the cooperative doesn't care if you're cooperating with each other.
I was thinking that too, because I was like, it's funny how they can have alcohol, but they can't, like, you know, have sex or whatever in the house. So it's just like, oh, okay, you can have one, but not the other.
And sometimes one leads to the other.
Yeah, I was like,
it's a lose situation.
Exactly. Yeah, so Venable basically is, you know, she's confronted about this, and she says that she had orders from the cooperative, that this was their orders, but she was then ordered to destroy those orders.
Oh, you're talking about her meeting with Langdon.
Yeah, yeah. She meets with Langdon, so that's why she can't prove that these are the orders. And Langdon's like, you know, I actually wrote the
I wrote the book, honey.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you must. Then she starts going on this weird feminist rant where she's like, oh, well, you just don't like that a woman knows more than a man.
I love Sarah Paulson.
I love Sarah Paulson, too. She's the only one who can deliver that. And you're like, okay.
Whatever she says is like, yeah, you get a pass, Sarah.
I'm doing my best with the mess that men have left us. So it was like, mess men have made of things. I'm like, all right, get it. Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting that it's, they go through this whole story, too, where Langdon's saying he came in, he saw this mother with two children who had survived the fireball but not the radiation, and he realized that the one child in her arms was already dead, and she was begging them to kill the second child.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
And which caught me by surprise. Like, I just never know what he's thinking, because he's always so smooth and suave and, like, even keeled. He's even kind of seductive in some ways.
Yes.
And I just never know what the heck is going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I was definitely expecting him to say that he did kill the kid.
Oh, like, I was too. I just assumed that he was like, okay, yeah, and I had to kill the other one. But it was like, I wonder, like, if that child is one of the people that's in the house. You know what I mean? Or okay. It was like, where did he get that story from? Yeah. Like, could he just be making it up, or was it something that, like, really happened? I think
it's just that he's saying, like, he just has no mercy. Like, mm-hmm. he's just this merciless person who's like, mm-hmm. oh, this poor, helpless character that he came across, he won't even do them the one small service of putting yeah. them out of their misery.
I wonder okay. if it's, like, a tactic. Like, he'll probably tell you stories and tell you good things, that, like, little sweet nothings or whatever, to make you, like, kind of, like, trust him. And then it's, like, he'll turn around and, like, stab you in the back. Yeah. Like, oh, but you're getting that. Left here. Like, you know what I mean? Be like, dang, what? I thought we had a little intimate connection. You know what I mean? And he's yeah. like, no, you're getting left. Like,
damn, Langdon. I
know. He's going to turn out to be ruthless.
Mikey's a dick. But yeah, so then his test for Venable is he's saying, kind of going off the seductive thing, is he's like, take off your dress.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what? No.
Yeah. She's, you know, no. And he's like, look, this is a physical examination. And she's saying, check my file. Mm. But then, like you were saying, is he's like, what I'm looking for isn't in your file, mm-hmm. it's the shame that you feel by taking your clothes off and showing this part of you that you feel humiliates you.
And see, that's kind of going back to what you were saying, Elena, like how he's kind of pinpointing like different things that are going, yeah. you know what I mean? Like yeah. it was like Alon's anger, and so now it's like her insecurities, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I wonder how he's going to like break down everybody else. So it's like,
okay. And I couldn't quite tell what it was. Was it like a scar, or was it like a mutation? I think her back was kind
of deformed. Like, I think she did have like a mutation. She kind of had like a hunchback type of thing going on, it looked like. Her yeah. spine was kind of curved out yeah. a little scoliosis. Bit. Yeah. Maybe that's it looks like, a, I don't know, it kind of looked like tell. A hunchback scoliosis type yeah. of thing. So I'm yeah. like, I don't yeah. know, we'll have to see.
But I love that line too, where he's like, does it hurt? She's like, no. And he's like, but does it bring you pain?
Yeah. She's like, yes.
Like, yes. Oh, God.
It's like Beauty and the Beast.
Sarah Paulson and Emmy. She's so good. I know, good. I love her. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's the truth. But yeah, so then Mead ends up knocking and pulling Venable away to yeah. say that Gallant has hooked up with presumably Langdon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, okay, well, who's new? Like, what is the scenario? It has to be him. Yeah. I think they know each other. I think they're plotting something.
Yeah. The crazy thing that I also noticed was, like, Kathy Bates, when she came in, her demeanor looked like she knew kind of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it was like, she had that face like, you just violated, like, my woman. You know what I mean? Like, okay. she had, like, such a, like, an evil, devilish stare in her yeah. face, like, when she closed the door on him. So I was just like, I don't know. I wonder Ooh. What that was about, too. Because I was just like, her whole facial expressions were just like, you touched her, you violated her, and mm-hmm. then, like, she had to come back and zip up her dress, you know what I mean? So yeah. I was like, I don't know.
Good call, like, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, she's probably full anti-Langdon. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that, mm-hmm. yeah.
We have Nas in the chat who has a good comment. It says, I feel like it relates to the seven sins. Gallant fell from lust, and Venable fell from pride.
Ooh. That's a good point. Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Because we see later in the next dawn, which we'll talk about in mm-hmm. prediction too, is the, like, thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm. The commandments.
So, yeah, I could see that being, yeah, the seven deadly sins. Yeah. Okay. I like that. That's
the reference.
Yes.
So poor Gallant is...
Gallant.
I know, Gallant. Gallant is chained to the ceiling, is being whipped. But
oh, wait, no, wait. We forgot to say that, like, she didn't pass her test. Remember, she asked. She was like, did I pass? And he was like, no, you did not. I was like, oh, my God, is he going to kill her? I was like, what's going to happen?
That is pretty intense. So we don't know if she failed, though. We just know that she didn't pass.
Right. Okay.
Ooh.
And there's, I'm assuming, multiple tests.
Yeah.
Throughout this,
Gallant also hasn't passed. He just
talks too much.
He didn't even say. Yeah, he didn't even. Yeah. Really, did he tell him he just like did not pass? But he like I kind of think he just read him. He was just like, no, I already know you're kind of needy and like you want attention or whatever.
Yeah he just said that he failed or passed. We'll talk later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He just talks too much. Like, I mean, of course we know Langdon. Clearly, it seems like he knows everything already. Mm-hmm. But just like, shut up. Like, why do you have to spill everything? Let's. Clearly, yeah. It's gotten you in trouble before, so just be quiet.
I wonder if the test is going to be, like, power, because you know what I mean? Like, after him kind of questioning everybody, like, okay, well, Galana was like, okay, you know, you're gay, and, like, what have you went through? And he, like, pretty much told him his whole life story. And then it's, like, with Venable, he kind of, like, broke her down, too, and he, like, was able to get her to talk about, like, you know, her back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, I wonder if that's, like, you not passing, you know what I mean? What if you just, like, stand your ground and you're just, like... No, it doesn't bother me, or you know what I mean. Like,
so not showing vulnerability.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Not being vulnerable. Like, I wonder if that's kind of a factor too.
Because he's kind of not. Like, yeah. He's again, his emotions are kind of all over the place. You can't really read him. Yes. So maybe that's.
But the weird thing that we see Gallant when he's getting whipped and everything, he's yelling out the gay icons of the 70s and 80s, which I also love too, of like the Rick Taylor and the Larry Kramer. But. Venable ultimately stops because she's like, he's enjoying it. Yeah. So it's almost like they're kind of throwing everything on its head of what each of these tests and what is considered to be kind of torture and torment.
Yeah. But then I think later a little bit we kind of see he was only acting like that because he thought, like, he kind of had like an upper hand on everybody because he thought Langdon was the guy in the rubber suit. So he was just probably like, you know, I was thinking about us when they were whipping me. Like, you know what I mean? So, and it was just like to find out that, you know, that wasn't the rubber man. It's just
But
like,
then, yeah, Langdon saying, he's like, I've never been to your room.
Yeah. And he's like,
that line. Yeah. I was like, so creepy. And then I wouldn't hook up with you if you were the last man on earth, which you almost are. Yeah. It's like, geez, man, needy, pathetic. I can see why your grandmother is disgusted by you. And then goes on to say this whole tirade of like his grandmother hating his guts and him kind of denying it. And then saying, look, she's the reason that you're here. She's the one who turned you in.
Yeah.
And then ultimately finding out that that's true. That's got to be rough. Yeah. Like, man.
I know. Like, yeah. Man, grandma, you didn't throw me up under the bus. Like. But, I mean, she didn't deny it. She was like, I mean, one less person that I got to fight for or whatever.
It's like, him knowing her, should he really be surprised?
That's what I'm saying. Really? Like, no, like, he shouldn't be surprised. He was so hurt, though. You could tell in his face. He was just like, he had a sudden epiphany, like, oh, my God, now I got to go talk to my grandma because... Yeah. But he just came in there like, so grandma, you have really anything to say? It's funny, huh? Meanwhile, so your grandma, they didn't shoot me. Like.
While Dinah Stevens is in there talking about how Time in a Bottle is playing and it's so melancholy because it reminds her of an episode of the Hardy Boys where one of the Hardy Boys' girlfriends dies. Then Coco's whole weird tirade. What did you guys think of this? The millennial tirade where she's like, it's harder for us because we had more options.
It's so funny because, that's like, to be honest, that's how we kind of are. Like, we're always, like, comparing stuff, like, when our parents are like, you need to get a job. It's hard out here. And they're like, oh, it wasn't as hard back in our day or whatever. It's like, the times have changed. So it's like, she's probably, like, one of those people like, no, Nana, times have changed. Right. Like, we are out here having different options for dogs and different Yorkies and stuff. You guys had, like, two coffee flavors. Like, now we have hazelnut and toffee nut. Like,
well, we even get that where Gallant is telling Nana where he's like, you've lived, I haven't.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, even though Nana's point was pretty brutal, she did have a point, though.
Doesn't she?
She did have a point.
She's mean. I mean, to say humanity may be in a sorry state, but it deserves better than you.
Ooh. Damn. Nana. Like, Nana has, like, lifetime of clapbacks.
Nana's like, I'm too fabulous to die right now. I don't have time for this.
And I love Coco, too. Good thing you convinced me to bring your Nana. It's like,
I swear she's like the comedic relief. Like, it's so, like, dark and, like, gloomy. And it's like, oh, here's Coco with her lines.
Meanwhile, Emily and Tim are just like, okay, well, if your rules are made up, we're going to hook up anyway.
Yeah.
So they're hooking up. Rubberman makes an appearance again in the doorway, shows up. Gallant has hears the music stop and the song changes. Mm-hmm. This is interesting, though, because it changed to Gold Dust Woman from Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And Coven has that whole thing with Stevie Nicks. So it's interesting that they're playing the Stevie Nicks song.
Oh, like, yeah. I wonder if Stevie Nicks is going to make her appearance again.
I don't know. I don't know how that ties in, but I just, that felt interesting to me that I was like, oh, that's kind of the first, like, yeah. Coven reference that we've had. We've had, like, the Murder yeah. House references, yeah. but, which we will talk to in just a minute about some of the different crossover things as well, yeah. but I thought that was kind of an interesting one.
Tim and Emily just need to kind of sit down, though. They're just, like, too eager. Like, this episode, I was just like, they yeah. need to have a yes. seat. Like, they're so eager. It's well, like, you guys are, like, trying to figure out everything. It's yeah. like,
ooh. Well, we have Naz in the chat said Timothy and Emily were so stupid in this episode.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Do you guys think that they were just doing too much?
Well, I mean, I love that it was that they were talking about, that Dinah was talking about the Hardy Boys episode and they're going all full Hardy Boys looking around.
Yeah.
So that's why I almost was interested when she was like, the Hardy Boys, it was the episode where one of the girlfriends dies.
Okay.
And I'm like, and is that an Emily thing? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was like, is this like an Emily's the one who's like the one pushing, ooh. Being like, let's investigate?
Okay. They are just like so eager though. It's like we're only in the second episode. Like right. you guys can just like down. Have a seat to figure for 5 minutes.
It's been 18 months. I'm like oh, yeah, that's rationing kisses okay. one a week. I'm like 18 months with one kiss a week. I too would be like, okay, yeah, right, like
yeah, I was wondering like why they're so adamant about like finding things out. But I'm like, okay, yeah. After like a year yeah. and a half, I yeah. think I start fishing around for stuff too. Yeah. Like,
and
no.
also, there's nothing to do. They keep yeah. reiterating. Like it's like I too would be like, all right, well, let's go see. Just so that we're not bored out of our minds, yeah. like something to do.
It's like, I guess either have sex or just go sit there and listen to Coco complain.
Right.
And they like find out options. Too that somehow the Wi-Fi is working because he sent a message yeah. that, like a week prior.
Yeah.
Which is another interesting thing.
Like, so, how is their Wi-Fi with all this like nuclear explosions and
exactly.
stuff?
Yeah. So it's like,
there's all of this is yeah. fake. It's all happening. I'm saying it now. It's all fake.
And we know that reality can kind of get twisted here mm-hmm. because Rubber Man shows up again and Gallant is hooking up with him again.
Yeah.
But then he sees the scissors and stabs him to death yeah, as kind like, of last an man. Huh? Yeah. Like... And then we see Langdon show up in the doorway and he turns back and now Rubber Man is actually poor Nana.
Dang it, Nana Evie, you died off already. Right. Like,
oh. She was talking too much, too fast, and then look what happened.
Okay, see, now I can get to my little point. So I'm thinking the Rubber Man is like, he's a, like symbolism for something that. That like your trigger, like some, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, I can't find the word for it, but I'm like, it's some type of trigger that he's showing up in those moments when you're like most vulnerable.
Yes.
So yeah. it's like, you know what I mean? So it was like, I don't know, but I definitely thought Rubber Man was Langdon, but it's like now, no, he's like some type of symbol
some
that just shows absolutely. Up like when you're starting to feel like vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. And our chat agrees with that. We have a comment that says the Rubber Man keeps appearing around sex, like how the addiction demon keeps appearing around drugs and addicts.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
Nas is on it. Yes.
That's a point.
That's a good reference. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rubber Man is like this season's Drildo of yeah. Hotel.
Yeah,
like addiction monster. Yeah. Which another weird thing, kind of going back to Tim and Emily, is that then when they are pulled from their beds and they're confronted, they flat out say, look, we know that these rules are BS, that you mm-hmm. made this up. And then, you know, she's asked, did Langdon tell you this?
Yeah.
And they're brought to the room to presumably be killed. But Tim, with some, like, Matrix moves,
like, not today.
Whips around, yeah, uses the hose to KO the guard, and then shoots Meade, who starts bleeding some weird alien goo.
Yeah some, like, radioactive fluid.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Is this, like, something from the radioactivity of what's happening outside, or...
See, I wonder if Meade's, like, a little robot or some type of, like, spy, but I'm like, I don't know, because it was, like, going back to how Stu died, it was like, oh, you know, there's some, like, some activity that's going on or whatever. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out who it is. It's like, I wonder if it was her, but it was, like, Stu was just kind of used as that cover-up. But I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe she was exposed to some point, but was able to be saved or has it turned on the outside or something.
Maybe. I'm not sure. We don't know why Stu was killed still, so... Yeah. That could be.
Because I was thinking when she was doing the little, you know, the little thing to go over his body or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she kind of, like, went past, like, her lower mid area. Ooh. You know what I mean? And then it was like, and it was like,
I wonder if it's, I don't know. I don't know if maybe it has something to do with aliens only because of going, I guess, kind of sliding into our little crossover mm-hmm. segment. Is we saw the horse get dragged away in episode one when Langdon right. put his horses down by what looked kind of like creatures from that we had seen in Asylum, okay. where the doctor MacGruber had created these weird monsters that looked like they had some sort of radioactive boils and stuff that ended up eating these sacrifices in the woods. And that was the same season that tied into the aliens that we never got a full resolve on that. So maybe it could be back to Asylum.
Yeah.
Or it could just be radioactivity that's making her all goofy.
I know.
We'll see. No idea. No
we'll have
idea.
To see next week. Oh my gosh. I don't want them to kill off Kathy. Like, I love Kathy.
Yeah, I know. I don't think there's any way that they'll kill off Kathy.
She sounds like a prominent character.
Early on.
Like,
yeah, there's
so many
no way.
Like,
no.
Me neither.
I just don't believe it. One thing that was kind of cool going into our crossover thing, too, is that talking about how important music is and with the Gold Dust Woman and Fleetwood Mac potentially being a coven reference. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about it, but episode one, the Patience and Prudence song, Tonight You Belong to Me, is the first song that plays when Langdon shows up.
Yeah.
That also was in Murder House a whole lot. Mm-hmm. They played it several times in Murder House whenever they were key moments. So it seems like this is something that's thought out, that they are intentionally doing callbacks and references to different seasons and that the subtleties, I mean, we may be reading too much into it because I love that Galan is even like, the song has to mean something. Right. And I'm sitting here saying the same thing where I'm like, it has to mean something. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe it is just Ryan Murphy messing with us. But I don't know. I feel like it's got to be some
it
sort
means
of reference.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Right? It's gotta be.
Speaking of referring back to stuff, our After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve our television fans. But you guys, we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you guys, and you'll help us continue to grow. And if you're worried about these notifications, do not be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out all of our AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you guys did so in the comments and we'll shout you out on air like we've been doing. But for now, thank you guys for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes. And be sure to comment and let us know too all of your predictions, what you think is gonna happen.
I know, so much.
Let's dive into some of our predictions.
Yes.
Too.
Let's do it. A little mysterious.
Predictions. So we got a little sneak peek of next week's episode, Forbidden Fruit, which we have Langdon saying, you know, the different commandments, thou shall not kill, thou shall not steal. And we also have him saying that these are the rules of the old world.
Mm-hmm.
These are changing for the new world. And then we see this kind of weird masquerade thing and everyone being told to savor tonight because it might be as if it was their last.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is going on?
I was stuck on that. I was like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, what are you guys insinuating? Like, I don't know what's going to happen next. I wonder if, like, well, clearly I think the tests are going to continue, but it's like, I don't know. I'm like, if it's going to be their last, I wonder if it's going to be another breach is going to happen. But it has to be because someone's going to find out that Mead is, like, leaking this fluid. So it's like somebody's going to find her and something else is going to happen. So I think it's going to be another, like, breach and something else is going to happen. Yeah.
Find out what Mead bleeds.
Yeah, I'm interested in further exploring this whole no rules situation.
Yes.
Because Langdon said, one of his quotes was, no need for rules anymore. Chaos has won.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if these tests of his is stirring up chaos to see who's going to be a leader, who's going to follow the rules, who's going to do what. So that's what I'm very interested to see is what more chaos is going to be stirred up.
Definitely.
Next week.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I do like that. Kind of the bringer of chaos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like that it's been set up that he's supposed to be the bringer of the apocalypse. So I'm mm-hmm. interested. Yeah. We know that at some point these characters from Murder House are going to show up. I'm just mm-hmm. wondering at what point in the season it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like if it's going to be an early on thing or if it's going to be, because there's 13 episodes, mm-hmm. presumably. So it's like, I hope we're not going to have to wait until like episode forever, 10 yeah. or like 12 to finally get them. So
I'm excited because there's a rumor that Jessica Lange is back. So Lange's yeah. back. So I'm like, yes. Like she's like playing mother Constance. Of like, yeah. I'm like mother of American Horror Story. So yes. like we have to have her back. I'm so excited to see her.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to have all of those characters back. And also too, having Tessa Farmiga playing both yes. Zoe yes. from Coven yeah. and Violet.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, too, having, yeah, like Tate yeah. Langdon yeah. also having Evan Peters as mm-hmm. Gallant. It's, yeah, I'm here for it. I'm
right for yeah. fashion. Like.
Absolutely.
I love that this season already, even just two episodes in, all, yeah. has so much to dive into.
Definitely.
And to dissect. So I definitely want to hear what all of you guys at home absolutely. Think about all of this craziness. And in the meantime, where can everybody keep up with you guys? Yes,
you guys can follow me on Instagram at @_KaylaRenee.
And you guys can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at @AshleyReedAllen.
And you can find me on Twitter at @ElenaJordan and on Instagram at @ElenaJordanGirl. And you can find us all here at AfterBuzz TV.
Of course, right here.
Be sure to rate, subscribe, give us that thumbs up. And tune in next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup.
Buzz you later!
's expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.